God's blessings to you as we look at our scripture readings for this coming Sunday, April 21st of 2024. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of the Easter season. It's also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, and we'll see why as we hear some of the readings for this coming Sunday. Let us begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace and love for us in Christ, and help us to see that and to know that and be confident about our future because of our Savior. And help us then, as your sheep, to follow you as faithfully as we can. Forgive us when we fail and our hearts condemn us, and strengthen us by your love and care in our Savior. And help us to see opportunities to show love also to others as you have first loved us. Bless us as we look at these scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 23, which would be a clue right away, as this is a very familiar psalm of the idea of the Good Shepherd. It's another of the Psalms of David. And David himself had been a shepherd for his family's sheep when he was younger, and he knew what sheep needed. He speaks of those needs in this psalm, but then he uses them in a spiritual way and applies them to himself and to us too as we read this psalm, as spiritual sheep of our Heavenly Father, and especially as we get into the New Testament of his Son, Jesus, the true good shepherd for us. Sheep are not the smartest animals, and they need lots of help and protection and care. Spiritually, we are the same. We need spiritual nourishment and protection in times of danger. We need restoration when we go astray and get into trouble. We need to be rescued. The Lord disciplines and directs us with his rod and staff. You might call that the law of God, which shows us the way we ought to go and pushes us in the right direction. But the Lord also forgives and blesses us with his gospel, his goodness and mercy, the psalm says, and his love. And the Lord continues to do that with his law and gospel, his word, through this life and on into eternal life. And we, in turn, as his sheep, seek to listen to his voice and trust in him by his gift of faith in which we live. Lots more that could be said, but a quick look. In the gospel lesson, John 10, 11 through 18, Jesus clearly identifies himself as our good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he says. It's one of his I am statements. He truly knows and cares about his sheep, and that means us too. There are, however, hired hands who do not really care for the sheep and abandon them in a time of danger. And when you look at the Old Testament, you find numbers of passages that speak of shepherds that are not doing what they ought to do among God's Old Testament people, and the troubles and the difficulties that come because of that, how important it is to have a faithful shepherd. And Jesus was that faithful shepherd. Jesus gave his life for us sheep, and then he took up his life again in his resurrection so that he can continue to help us and bless us always. And that's the key. He lives for us. I am with you always, he says, as our good shepherd, knowing that we are frail sheep at times and wishing to help and strengthen us. And Jesus knows us. He knows who his sheep are. And he seeks to keep us always trusting in and following him. And of course, he does that through his word and his sacraments and his blessings to us. Jesus also has other sheep he wants to bring into his flock. As he is the one true good shepherd, he died for all. He gave his life. He laid it. He put it down for us, but for the whole world, and wants to call more sheep into his flock. because there's no other shepherd who will do for anyone in this world. Well, in the first lesson then, Acts 4:1-12, and again, remember that we use a New Testament lesson during the Easter season, and hear about the early church. In Acts 4:1-12, we see that there was opposition to Jesus and those who taught about him. We've already heard about that earlier in the book of Acts. And here the Sadducees particularly, along with other religious leaders, but the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. You live this life and that's it. And they were sort of the liberal people, you might say, of that culture. Pharisees and others did believe in life after death, but Sadducees, who didn't, were especially upset with the talk about a resurrection from the dead. That just didn't fit with their way of thinking at all. And they, along with others, had Peter and John arrested then when they were continuing to teach in the temple and doing what God had asked them to do. The very next day then, these leaders, and particularly the Sadducees, it seems, questioned them about how and by what name that crippled man had been healed that we heard about in Acts chapter 3. And again, if you haven't watched these things, then you could go back to Acts 3 and hear of that story. And Peter, in chapter 3, gave all the glory to God for that healing that had happened, and then preached the good news. He does the same thing here in chapter 4, even when he and John have been arrested and are being challenged. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, we hear in this passage, and spoke boldly in the strength of the Spirit. He wasn't always bold, as we know, but in his strengthened life now in Christ, in his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, he speaks boldly about Jesus' death and resurrection, and that the man had been healed only by Jesus and by his power. And then he goes on, really quoting from the Old Testament, passages about a cornerstone who would be rejected and yet would become the center of the faith. And Peter says that Jesus is that cornerstone for faith and life and for our eternal future. And he makes one of the strongest statements in the passage that follows here, that there is no other means of salvation, no other person or name by which we can be saved. Christ alone is our salvation. There's no salvation in any other. And that's why, again, we need to get the good news out as the Lord blesses and strengthens us so that more sheep can be rescued and saved, because Christ alone is the way. Of course, that doesn't rule out the work of the Father and the Holy Spirit as the one true triune God is at work. But what Christ has done for us stands at the center of that, as that teaching is there in the Scriptures. And that's why the Old Testament keeps pointing forward to the coming of Christ as well. Well, the epistle lesson then, 1 John 3:16-24, begins with just what we heard in the gospel for today. Our good shepherd Jesus was willing to and did lay down his life for us and for our salvation. And as he first loved us, John often says, we are then to called to love one another. And he emphasizes, as James does and some others in his letter, to love one another, not just with words, saying nice things, but with deed and truth, doing some things to help people if we are able to do so. However, we all miss chances and opportunities, and we fail at times, and our hearts condemn us. We feel guilty about that, a guilty conscience, sometimes we would say. But God is greater than our hearts, this passage says, greater than our guilty hearts. He forgives us. He strengthens us once again. He is that good shepherd caring for us. But also, as we see his love and his forgiveness, he's seeking to move us again to seek to do his will more faithfully. Believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the key. And continuing in that and seeking to love one another then also in a better way, as God has first loved us. And then the passage ends with a reminder that God the Father abides in us as we abide in him as our guide and leader and our good shepherd. And again, that's along with Christ Jesus, and specifically the Holy Spirit is mentioned here again, and his power at work for us and with us through the Word and the sacraments. It's the one true triune God at work for us and our salvation, and caring in a great and a loving way for us. So some wonderful scriptures here for us, and especially clear ones for this Good Shepherd Sunday. The Lord's blessings as you think about these and consider these. And again, as always, I encourage you to get to worship if you possibly can. Those who can't and have reasons that they just can't be there, I hope you'll, again, read those scriptures on your own and consider them and ask the Lord's blessings for you as well. The Lord be with you all.